Hey, sports fans, it's world champion handicapper Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of VegasScoresAndOdds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. That's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before it even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and it is Wednesday. That means Mike has three free picks for you. He's a world-class handicapper, so when Mike North speaks, people listen. We'll talk Bears and Lions. You know that the Lions have gone 5-1 straight up against the Bears in games held at Ford Field, last six games, so we'll see what Mike thinks about that. And these two teams have kind of become experts at coming in on the underside of the over-under. We'll get Mike's take to see if it possibly could go over tomorrow. Plus, have you heard the news that a bunch of Lions fans and reporters are urging Lions fans to boycott the game because things have gotten so bad with that franchise? We'll talk to Mike about that. And there was a fight over at the ESPN studios. Akeem Hicks and Tom Waddle had some verbal fisticuffs, should we say it? Play that clip and get Mike's take on that situation. Woo. And talk about a real fight. White Sox pitcher Kelvin Herrera has been accused of punching somebody out at a cockfight. Can't wait to hear Mike's take on that one. We've got that and a lot more to talk about on this Thanksgiving Day show. Let's bring Mike in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Happy Thanksgiving, Aldo. Happy Thanksgiving to your family. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody at the Bears Ballroom. Happy Thanksgiving to Vegas Scores and Odds. Happy Thanksgiving to AM1000. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody's family. Little Nicky. I love Little Nicky, Tooch. You name it, all of them at the Ballroom. We're having the time of our life. We got three picks today. We're doing a 3 o'clock show. Don't forget on Mondays we're on at 1 o'clock. But you know what? We're going to be steaming. And I mean steaming like a hot pile of you-know-what going into Saturday, because I got some special picks, plus we got a lot to talk about today, my friend.
We sure do have a lot to talk about. I was going through some of the topics that we have to talk about, and it was like, wow, we've got a tremendous amount of stuff to talk about. And of course, first and foremost, we always start with the Chicago Bears here, because we are broadcasting from Chicago, and we get so many Chicago Bears fans on our feet, and so they want to know what's going to happen in this Thanksgiving Day game between the Bears and the Lions. Mike, from a gambling standpoint, this could be a really tough game. I mean, it's a -3, 3.5 is what I've seen in the past 11 Thanksgiving Day games. Detroit is 1-10 against the spread as an underdog going back all the way to 2004. Now, I know that you don't like to look at the spreads or the trends, I should say.
Right.
But what's your gut feel right now, given that the Lions have just underperformed for gamblers on Thanksgiving?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, the Lions, if you went against them, you've been doing pretty well over the last decade or so. There's no question. But you know what? It's a game where you're absolutely terrified to take. Now, I've had to make my service play picks for Thanksgiving at Vegas Scores and Odds. The free winner's line is 1-866-504-2201. VegasScoresandOdds.com. Follow at VSA All Sports. You know, the best I can do is tell you which way I lean, tell you which way I play. If it was me, here, I didn't make a pick on the total of this game. But to be honest with you, last week I took the over, and it came under again. I mean, they're averaging like 34, 35 points a game, the Bears, and their opponents in games that they're playing. We have a 38 now. I mean, do I dare go over again and lose? I mean, the Bears are, and this, the Lions are one of these teams and games where you really don't have a feel. I mean, if you're asking me, should the Bears win this game? Yeah. If you're asking me, should Detroit beat the Bears? Can Detroit beat the Bears? Yeah. So there's no gut feeling from me. I might take the over if I was akin to. If I was going to lean, I mean, you know, the home team's getting points. It's Thanksgiving. Strange things happen. But, I mean, if the Bears are as ferocious as they talk during the week, you know, then they should win this game. So we'll see what happens. I can't get out of my head. This team might be is good on feasting on bad teams, yet I can't get out of my head that a couple weeks ago Detroit came here and almost beat us.
Yep, I'm sorry. I had my volume down there.
It's always good when you have a radio show.
That's right.
And you're the producer.
Yeah.
It's always something. If you got a telescope, you know, and you want to look at the stars, it ain't no good if you're blind.
Hey, radio show.
But you always start things off quirky. That's what I love about my guy.
That's my signature call right there.
Yeah, the volume was down. Enjoy the show.
Now, you were talking about...
What I'm saying is that you don't know what I can give you a case to pick Detroit. I give you a case to pick the Bears. The Bears are supposed to win this game. Yet the Bears, even in their wins against lowly teams like the Giants and Detroit, have battle royals. This one's on the road. You know what? I'd love to see the Bears win, steam into 6-6. You know, get to 500. You know, they got the world like I predicted 3 weeks ago. They'd start putting the world against them to the point they're yelling at radio hosts now again. Like it was 1992. Like there's something special. So, you know what? We'll see what happens. Of course, the people that are got the big mouths are people that are in street clothes, civilian clothes, like Akeem Hicks. So we'll see what happens.
All right, since you got into it, we'll start talking about it. What Mike is referring to is that on ESPN 1000, the Waddle and Sylvie show, they had on as a guest Akeem Hicks. And Hicks was talking about, you know, let's get on board, you know, let's continue to root for the Chicago Bears. And this is what transpired.
Bandwagon, ride with us. We're down right now. We know that, and we're fighting to get back up. So roll with us. We didn't do this on purpose. We didn't try to get ourselves in the situation, but we're doing everything that we can to climb out of this hole. So be supportive.
You mean you didn't put your arm in between those two Raiders and it popped out a joint on purpose? No, I'm joking.
Hey, that's a joke?
No, that's why I said I'm not joking.
That's a joke?
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
You don't joke about somebody's injury.
No, I know.
No. I'm perfectly respectful, but I'll tell you what. You will not joke
about
an injury.
I'm sorry. I did.
You have a blessed day. This is the last time I'm on this radio station.
Akeem, are you serious?
So you're not a fan of how Akeem handled that, right, Mike?
Well, I've had these things. I mean, I started them.
Oh.
There was never altercations. There was never altercations on the radio until 1992. Everybody was, hey, you know what? The Bears are going to win. Yippee. It was a soft vanilla town. And then I came on the radio. I told Mark Carrier he sucked. I told Trace Armstrong he couldn't come in. He said he wanted to come to the studio. I told him I'd hire a blocker. You'd never touch me. Akeem Hicks, if he would have been on with me yesterday, I would have lit him up too. I've gone nose to nose with some of the top athletes in the land, including Michael Strahan, Albert Bell, Ozzie Guillen. This guy here's a lily. I mean, you're given. Does he know the history of Tom Waddle? I put this out on Twitter today.
Yes, you did.
So at the Dream 99 low score. What's that low dash there? Gives Tom Waddle, former NFL player who played a playoff game hurt and concussed. The how can you joke about an injury crap? This dude said the Bears were a dynasty in the making and we can't boo or joke around. But he can act the goof, drift, or get off the field. I've seen fat asses like this guy come and go, and he's going to disrespect the public and everything else. Anybody knows Tom Waddle was an NFL player, and he wasn't joking about Akeem's injury to the point where, hey, you got hurt, you're out of the game. He was trying to lighten the load, saying that Akeem Hicks tried his ass off and still got hurt. A bunch of garbage from Akeem Hicks, who comes on like the bully. Don't come on the show anymore, asswipe. Get on the field and play the game. You're a big talker. You talked about dynasty last year. And you and Tariq Cohen, you know what? You're a couple vomit buckets now that look down on the fans who come and support you. You didn't say a word last year when everybody was kissing your big ass. So you know what? What goes around comes around. I've said this to every Bear player since 1992. And I said this to Wanstead. I've said it to them all. I'll still be here. Your ass will be gone in about 5-6 years. And who knows, in 15 years, you may be 400 pounds and broke. So go screw yourself. You don't talk to a former NFL player like that. And you got to have a little bit more of a backbone when you're on the radio. And quit acting like a lily.
Akeem Hicks tweeted after the show, LOL, they got me, baited me right into it. Good work. And then a thumbs up emoji. And then a second tweet that said, you don't joke about someone's nearly season-ending injury. It's just not funny. Should not have lost my cool, but, quote, to err is human, to forgive divine. Do you forgive Akeem Hicks after this public apology?
Well, who's he asking for the forgiveness? I think he's forgiving Tom Waddle, isn't he?
Yeah, I would guess. I'm not sure.
Tom Waddle did nothing wrong. And you know what? I've been on Tommy's case before. Tommy's one of the guys that says, you know, the CTE thing's a serious problem. And I had said on the air a few years back, you know what? Tom Waddle, if they had concussion testing, he would have never had that game against Dallas. He had four times he got dinged up. He would have never returned after the second or third catch. So then I said, you know, you put a pair of wingtips on and you forget about how you got to your point in your life because nobody took you off the field. Here's what I know. Tom Waddle is tougher than Akeem Hicks, period. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how bad you talk. He's been chirping since day one. So you know what? I buy the apology if he's apologizing on behalf of himself. But you know what? I don't think he's got the brain to really drink that thing through. I think he's trying to say he apologized. Tom, I accept your apology. Bull. I mean, Tom apologized then, saying you're misunderstanding. And Akeem Hicks just hung up like a juvenile, period.
Hicks 4803 in the chat room says, Hicks is no dummy. If anything, I believe he used that opportunity to leave. If he comes back and does the show, then I'm wrong. What do you think? You think
that could be. You know what? I've had guys that never – I had reporters come to me, Mike Greenberg, other people, other reporters, even back in the day at the score. I can't get an interview. So-and-so hates your guts. I can't get an interview. So-and-so doesn't like what you said on the show. And I said, hey, you know what? That's the way it goes. Because you know what the people are listening to see? Either him or me and Jiggets. Period. And if not, we'll just take calls. But don't start pressuring us to be nicer, okay? Because you're having trouble getting interviews for the radio station. Because I used to tell them, go out and get a couple guys. But I understood if the Bears, my greatest joy in life is that Bears avoided my show. Because I knew I was doing the right thing. Period. McCaskey came on once. They knew I was right. And guess what? I'm here 27 years later saying the same thing to Team Hicks that I've said to other Bears that have avoided us or hung up the show. Grow a backbone.
I agree with Harp's follow-up comment here in the chat room. He says that Tom Waddle occasionally does get snarky, but he was genuinely hurt that Akeem took the remark the wrong way. I agree with that.
Well, because Tom Waddle's been there. And here's what Akeem Hicks could say. Just like people have said this to me before, well, you never played at the highest level. Okay, Thomas Jones and I went at that one time, you know? Thomas Jones said, you know, well, you didn't play the game. I go, well, you didn't get paid to talk like I did. So I guess I win the debate since I got paid to talk and you didn't, you know? I mean, so that's all nonsense. It's all deflection. And the, you know what? How can you get on somebody? Tom Waddle's a former NFL player who played as hurt as any man I've ever seen on a football field. He ran pass patterns without a thought. He didn't know where he was at, and he kept getting up and kept playing. I guarantee you this, if Hicks got hit like Waddle, is Hicks ever going to come back this year?
He is a candidate to come back after, I think, two more games. So we'll
What's
see.
He need? What's his Owie getting better?
Well, that's not
what happened to him, by the way. Did he lose? What happened to him?
He had an arm injury. Khalil Mack, a friendly fire, crashed right into his arm, and I
What's
forgot.
What's wrong with it?
I forgot what the. I can look it up here. Hold on a second.
You want to know something? I know football players might have been on the field already.
Oh no, Mike. Akeem Hicks.
Are you telling me players don't play hurt? I'll list you 50 right now. I'll list you guys that played with broken legs. Okay. So the nonsense that...
Who's played with a broken leg? Come on.
Who has played with a broken leg?
I want to know.
Fred Dreyer. Jeff Youngblood. Look him up.
That's different.
Terrell Owens played with a busted fibula. Look it up.
That's different, though, Mike. That was before there. You know, medical doctors were allowed on...
No, you just said name them. I can name you 50 guys that played hurt, that have played hurt with bad injuries... Like Jack Youngblood, like Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens wasn't that long ago. He played with a busted leg. So I mean, I understand that the injury thing is a touchy thing. I really do. But I mean, I can name Joe Namath couldn't even walk, and he played. I'll name you guys all night long, like I'm Lionel Richie. Bottom line is, you're right. Things are more careful now. I understand that, which gives the players more time to heal. The older players never had that luxury, Alex.
Elbow dislocation, and thank you, Zach Sullivan. 4 to 6 weeks recovery recommended is what the doctors have told him. And, you know, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on this. Akeem Hicks is one tough SOB. And if he could be out there, he would be out there.
How long has he been injured?
You really think that Akeem Hicks is...
I didn't say that. How long has he been injured? I never said anything. I said there's been players that have played with busted limbs. And you said name them. I named them.
Right.
And I could name more. So what I'm telling you is that nowadays, you're right, you can't do that same type of thing, although every single week there's guys playing hurt. A dislocated elbow, you said 4 to 6 weeks. All I asked you is how many weeks has he been out?
Yeah, I don't have that handy.
Well, you know what? Maybe somebody could answer us. Because if it's been 6 weeks, because he's been out a while, hasn't he, Alex?
Yeah, he's been out a while. But, Mike, yes.
And I know you love the guy.
No, yes, I do. I like him a lot.
I heard 4 to 6 weeks.
Right. But are you...
All I want is to know how long he's been out.
Yes or no, Mike? Are you saying that Akeem Hicks is not playing right now by his own decision because he doesn't want to play?
I never said that.
Okay. All right.
I asked you 4 to 6 weeks. And I've asked you that 5 times, and I'm still waiting.
I don't know the answer.
How many weeks he's been out.
I'm not an encyclopedia, Mike. What do you want me to do? I don't know the answer.
I saw Gale Sayers come back from the worst knee injury in history and lead the league in rushing the next year. So the nonsense that players don't play hurt, they play hurt now. There's guys that are playing hurt in the National Football League now. They just don't like to talk about it, and they're not as bad as that. All I asked is how many weeks has Akeem Hicks been out? And you keep saying, are you saying he's playing another? No, don't put words in my mouth.
Okay.
I'm saying get back out on the field and quit questioning former NFL players. I'll name you a player now that played hurt. the guy we're talking about, Tom Waddle.
I know
go
that,
look at
Mike.
The video, folks.
I know that, Mike. But again, you're going back to a time when medical practices
that's
were totally.
Out.
It's
that's
not
an
easy
out.
Out, Mike. It's not. Times have changed. You know that. Brummy Bear, by the way, says that he's been out for 7 weeks now.
7 weeks. And the other guy says 4 weeks, 6 weeks. So I'm saying it's the seventh week, and I'm getting yelled at because I want to see the guy in the field. That's all.
Now,
I'm
hold on. Now, hold on. Now, hold on. He's
I'm not saying he's
hold.
Saving the injury. But guess what? I heard from you 4 to 6 weeks. It's 7 weeks.
Mike, hold on. Mike, hold on. He's not eligible to come back because he was put on injured reserve. He needs to be out for 8 weeks, okay?
That's fine. I get it. So he's automatically out for 8 weeks. He's got 2 more weeks. That's all I wanted to know. I wasn't accusing the guy of not playing, of nursing an injury. I wasn't accusing him of that.
Sounded to me like you were. Sounded to me like you was.
Well, it sounds to me like you were trying to tell me he was.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you that
every
he's...
Every time I'd ask you how long has he been out, you
no,
say,
Mike, I didn't have the answer.
He's not playing. He's not hurt. I say, well, it's 4 to 6 weeks. Are you trying to say he's not hurt? I never said that.
This is going to be Thanksgiving Day dinners throughout America tomorrow.
I don't care. You know what? I don't kowtow to athletes that talk to people like that played in the league.
Hey,
and then have been out, you know, been out themselves. Get on the field, like I said today, once he gets on the field up. Have I not said he was the MVP of the team?
Yes. Yes, you have.
So I don't want to hear the crap that I'm saying he's playing not hurt or he doesn't want to play. I've been saying the guy's the MVP of this team. You know it for the last 5 weeks. I've been saying it every week. And all I want the guy to do is get on the field because we can't win without him.
Now, Mike, are you claiming that I was kowtowing to Akeem Hicks? Are you claiming
you
that?
You sounded like a lawyer.
Well, let me tell you right now. Let me tell you right now that I was not. I am just simply saying that anybody that questions Akeem Hicks' toughness is totally wrong and off their rocker. That's what I'm saying.
Some of the toughest football players in the world can't play hurt sometimes. Some of the toughest guys who ever played the game.
So are you saying Akeem Hicks? Are you saying Akeem Hicks?
I was. Okay, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Are you saying Akeem Hicks will not play?
No, I'm not saying
okay,
that.
Okay, then why bring that up? Why bring that up? We're talking about Akeem Hicks.
Because Akeem Hicks is what we're discussing, the topic. I'm telling you, you just told me. I'm telling you I've been watching athletes my whole life play hurt.
I have been watching it almost as long as you, Mike. I'm 61 years old. You're 66. I've watched the same games you have. I've watched.
Have you seen him play hurt?
I've seen Akeem Hicks play hurt. Absolutely. This effing season he was playing hurt.
No, you've seen other athletes play hurt.
I've seen every athlete play hurt. Absolutely. I've seen courageous athletes go out there. I don't know why you're implying that Akeem Hicks won't go out there.
I guess if you want to keep talking, I'm just trying to say I won't have words put in my mouth and say that he's, man, you know, sitting out nursing an injury. All I'm saying is I asked for 4 times, 4 to 6 weeks. We do a bear show. You said I have no idea, and I understood that because I don't know how long he's been up. Then we got an answer 7 weeks. Now you got the 8 week thing. I get it. So he should be back in a couple weeks.
He should be back in a couple of weeks. I bet that if there's any way possible Akeem Hicks can go out there, he will play. I think he is one tough SOB. And no one here and in the chat room agrees with Akeem Hicks and how he behaved with Tom Waddle. It was totally wrong. It was inappropriate. He took the joke in the wrong way. But for anyone to question Akeem Hicks, and I'm not saying that you were, but if anyone out there wants to question Akeem Hicks' integrity when it comes to playing hurt, then they are wrong. All right, let's move on to the next subject.
Okay, what do you got to go off of on that?
Well, I've seen him play hurt. I've seen Akeem Hicks play hurt. He did it this season. This very season, he was injured.
Well, Stafford had to leave a game because he has some little bones in his back. You're right about this. It's so much tougher now to get on the field. Because, for instance, I know Akeem Hicks probably is healthy enough to play now. But you brought up that he's on that IR list. Stafford, I think, can play now if he wanted to. He wanted to play against the Bears. So you're absolutely right about that. Absolutely right. There's injuries that happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago that you can't play with now. I get that.
All right. Let's all take a deep breath.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I am absolutely fine. I just saw a guy named Tom Waddle play – as hurt as any NFL player I've ever seen in a playoff game, including Nakeem Hicks. So he should know his history, and he should know he's talking to a former NFL player.
You are 100% correct, and I urge everyone to go to Mike's Twitter account, at North2North, that's the number two, at North2North, and look at the video that Mike posted. I saw the entire thing today. It's about 8-9 minutes. Somebody collected all of the pass plays Tom Waddle was involved in. First of all, he had a tremendous game. Second of all, that guy should have gone to the hospital in the middle of the game.
Hey, he was like me on Rush Street four different times in that game. At 1 o'clock in the morning, wasn't he? I mean, I had almost forgot how crazy he was in that game. And I think basically what got Hakeem Hicks, and by the way, he's getting plenty of brushback. He's been tweeting out once or twice. You know, he's still blaming Waddle. It doesn't seem like he was apologizing to Waddle for overreacting, probably like me and you were doing earlier. And but you know what? That's fine, because he's got to know who he's talking to. And you know what? If he was talking to Sylvie or me or guys that haven't played the game, you can play that game, but it's a dangerous game to play. You never played the game. You don't know what it's all about. Tom Waddle has.
He
and
really
Tom
has.
Waddle played as hurt in that game as any guy I'd say that's ever been on the field played. I can't believe John Madden says during the video, folks, they put three different times smelling salt up his nose.
Yes, exactly. And
wow.
And the image of him at the end of the game, when the game was over and people are talking to him, he's got this look on his face. Yeah, Mike, it's sort of like when you and I were out on Rush Street. We never went out together, but it was...
you know what? That's how you get. You get goofy. You get,
gosh.
I mean, 2 o'clock in the morning, this guy, you're jumping around. You're walking into a pole. You didn't even see it there. That's how Tom Waddle was. It was scary. He would never have had that game. Remember the other day I was telling you there'd be no Devin Hester with the kickoffs?
Yep.
There'd be no Tom Waddle, maybe, because Tommy made his bones off of grit, off of that game, playing as hurt as any man I've ever seen.
Yep.
And I think that's what got people pissed off at Hicks. Okay, you got to know.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
This guy got concussed four times, and he's a former Bear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that hurt a little bit. If it's maybe, and the same thing would happen with me and Jiggs. Some guy would say, did you ever play the game? And Jiggs would say, I did. And that was the end of that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
Because they all played hurt.
Right. Patrick M.M. Yep. in the chat room says, Waddle was so much fun to watch, but man, did he take some shots for sure. And that is so true. And you're absolutely right. I do think that if Hakeem Hicks was totally aware of what the sacrifices that Tom Waddle put out in the football field for this Chicago Bears team, I don't think he would have taken that joke the way he did. I'm not sure he really knew who Tom Waddle is, but maybe
I'm
wrong.
I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt on that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Doesn't do any good to double down and say to err is human.
Yep.
Tom Waddle played a game that 99% of the players in this league today wouldn't be able to play to begin with. And Tom Waddle played as hurt and produced as much as any athlete I've ever seen who's been injured. So I just like Hakeem Hicks to say that. But I'll also say this about Hakeem Hicks. It's nothing personal, pal. You pick on my teammate. I work for AM1000 and one of my favorite Bears of all time. We're going to come at you. And this isn't the first time that Hicks or guys like Tariq Cohen the other day with the Blues. There are people on Twitter now, and that's how it starts to grow through social media,
right,
who are tired of this Bear team telling the fans what to do.
Mike, it's one of the many reasons why I love you, because you will fight for your loved ones, and I appreciate that very much.
Hey, you know what? I'll give us a draw on that one. We're both getting stitches.
That was a good 12-rounder.
But that's fine, because then we go on. That's what pros do.
Absolutely.
We have a disagreement about something, we move on. And that's what sports radio used to be like.
Right.
You used to have actual hot, heated debates about stuff. It wasn't the library. It wasn't walking to the bus stop. It wasn't Frankie and Joe Pesci sitting in casino at the bus stop saying, who is this guy coming? You know, it wasn't quiet. It was ruckus like me and Aldo had. That's a taste of yesterday. Hopefully there's still some of that today.
Hey, Mike, and it wasn't contrived. We didn't plan this at all.
We never planned anything.
Right.
We never planned anything. And by the way, I'll say it again. the season went down when Akeem went down. Yep, that was it.
That's
and,
right.
And if that ain't, that's about as high a praise as I can give any one bear.
There you go. There you go, brother. All right, here's some, the Lions are not getting any praise at all from a sports writer who is urging Detroit Lions fans to not attend tomorrow's game. He said, he wrote, and this is Jeff Seidel of the Detroit Free Press. He says, "You fans are enabling this record where the Lions have not been in the playoffs since 19 or not won a playoff game since 1991. He says, "When you buy your Lions jerseys, when you fill up the seats and go to the games, when you buy beer, popcorn at Ford Field, pumping up all that concession money into the Ford family bank account year in year, you are enabling this and saying, 'I accept this.'" Mike, do you agree with this columnist? Do you think fans should just not show up to games, or do you feel that they should show up and boo? Or what? How do you feel about this issue?
Is he going to cover the game? Is the Detroit Free Press going to have the people at the game? Show us the way. Show us the way. Don't discourage fans to go to the game. You, my friend, the columnist, whoever is he from Detroit?
Yes, he is from Detroit.
He's
right.
Never paid. He has, how long has he been there? Probably a while. He's never paid for a ticket, and he goes to the games, and he's going to yell at the ticket-paying public.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yep. You're going to give people who've been Lions fans for 40, 50 years grief because they're supporting one of the few businesses in Detroit that actually pump revenue into that decrepit city, and you and your friends from the Detroit Free Press and the Detroit radio stations will all be there on a free pass, but you're going to question the fans? That's a bunch of BS, pal. Show the way. Don't cover the game. Don't go to the game. But don't tell other people not to go and not to pay when you're getting in for free. I mean, that's the kind of thing that disgusts me about today's press.
Mike, what you just said there is golden, because you're absolutely right. They're getting all this free publicity from the newspapers and from TV. And so if you really feel that way and you're telling the public not to show up to the games, well, why don't you lead the way? And the Detroit Free Press should boycott the Lions, right? Why not?
That's exactly right. They've been there for 100 years, the Detroit Free Press. They covered every Lions game. They were there for the last time they won, when there were covered wagons in Bobby Lane back in 1956. Here's what I'm going to tell the Detroit Free Press or anybody in Detroit. Don't cover the games then. But you know what will happen? Nobody will buy your paper then on Monday morning, period. Because people still have loved their team. People that are lifelong Detroit and Michigan fans love their team. And they don't want to hear some hotshot writer who goes to cover the games and writes about the Detroit Lions, good or bad, to make money off their backs, period.
Kevin in the chat room says, "Mike cuts to the chase when he hears or smells bullshit."
Well, that's what it is. You're telling fans, you're telling season. That's why I feel bad for Bear fans, season ticket fans. They put their hard-earned money down, and then they get products like this. That's why fans get mad. That's why fans got a right to boo. That's all. I don't say you should run on the field. I don't say you should ever say anything that's vulgar to any of the players. Don't even give them the finger. They're your guys. But when they're on the field and not performing, you have the right to boo. I mean, if you went to a play, okay, and people started forgetting their lines, there'd be murmuring in the theater, would there not?
Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely. If you go to see a concert, okay, and Mick Jagger's got laryngitis, and you can't hear them, people are going to start complaining.
That's right.
That's just the way it is.
That's right.
That's it.
You got it. That is so true.
And then this guy from the Detroit Free Press is going to scold. You know what? I feel bad for the people of Detroit because I went through the same stuff. So did you, Aldo.
Yep.
We didn't win from 63 to 85. And look at the Cubs.
Yep.
I mean, really, who would have had the nuts to write, "If you don't like that the Cubs don't finish first, don't go to the games"? They have 40,000 people there. Here's the difference. The media gets in for free, period.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I like the idea of attending the games and just booing and having signs saying sell the team and making your voice heard. Yes, you can go out there and the empty seats send a message, but that still is not as strong as making a visual statement and an audible statement and boo the hell out of your home team if they're underperforming.
That's it. I mean, you're going to be told by the actors. I forgot my lines, but don't boo me. Perry Como, I forgot the middle part of It's Impossible, but don't walk out of the theater. Frank Sinatra, I forgot to sing The Middle Course of My Way, but don't boo me. Are you out of your mind? I mean, people got a right to express displeasure or pleasure. And how about all the times they get these guys get standing ovations? How about all the perks they get? How about all the good times they get? I've been there. I've gotten perks. It's cool to be a celebrity in Chicago.
Yep.
Akeem Hicks is destroying all that right now, along with Tariq Cohen and some of the Bears. They got a right to be mad and upset, but don't put your wrath on us booing on your bad performance.
I love what you're saying, and Mike, we have a lot more to talk about, the White Sox and other news that's happening.
But
right now,
you mean there's more bad news.
Yes, but right now, everybody is on the edge of their seats because it is time for...
Something pleasant, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we do here. And by the way, we are the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage, ladies and gentlemen. And I got to tell you, it's one of the great pleasures of Eldo's and mine. And, you know, Carmen DeFalco now, they're sponsoring the Odds Couple. They're getting involved locally in a lot of different cities. We're pleased to do their commercials. I'm pleased to be the spokesman of them. And I'm going to tell you right now. Right now, for the last 7 days, I'm 8-8. Dennis Macklin's 18-14. Right now in the NFL, I'm on fire. 27-16 the last 30 days. Hockey, I'm number one at 6-3. So you know what? Things are getting done. College basketball, I may have some up. I got all the Thanksgiving games tomorrow up, folks. I got that up, and I got the college game up also. And I got Mississippi State and in Mississippi, there's four games on tomorrow. I have three Saturday games. Aldo's gone. Would you please get to our games, please? Well, I got to let everybody know, Aldo. You know me. Anyway,
absolutely.
Here's what we got. Now,
you're doing good.
These are all Saturday games, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
These are all Saturday games because that's what we've been really good at. And when you're 21-16, what I decided to do is guess what? I'm going to go with college games again. There's a 6 o'clock game on Saturday night. You got Iowa State who's 7-4 against Kansas State 7-4. Iowa State right now is -4. Take Iowa State -4 on the road against a very good Kansas State team. And I used to go to football games at Kansas State where they didn't have a home field advantage back in the 70s and 80s, early 80s. They have one now, but they're going to lose this game. I think they're going to lose it straight up. They're going to lose by at least 7. Okay, now, I know that the Big Ten season right now is teetering on Ohio State, Michigan, but there's another attractive game on at 2:30. Why Ohio State, Michigan's on early, I have no idea, but Wisconsin, Minnesota is a 2:30 game, Aldo, and Wisconsin is 9-2, Minnesota 10-1. I think Wisconsin's been eyeing them for a long time. I think Wisconsin wants a better bowl game. I think Wisconsin wants to go up in the rankings. Minnesota has been skittish at best the last 2-3 weeks. They got dropped out of a chance to go to the playoffs. I'm going to take Wisconsin -2.5 in that game. Then you have Oklahoma. Now Oklahoma is a team that is going to be playing Oklahoma State. I really love the money line in this game, and I understand people can't play it because a lot of people would say to themselves it's a little bit too expensive, but you can take Oklahoma -the points. I'm going to take them on the money line. That's my pick on the show. I am hired to pick winners for the people, so I have Wisconsin, I have Iowa State, and I have Oklahoma. Eldo, back to you.
I am making a prediction myself, Mike.
Wait a minute. hand me the rope over there. Yeah, go ahead. And the boomerang. I got a boomerang in the corner right by the bike. Yeah, thanks. Okay, go ahead.
I predict you will go 3-0 this week. I love these picks. And these are games, at least two out of these three games, the Iowa State-Kansas State game and the Wisconsin-Minnesota games were games I planned on watching this weekend. So I am going to be watching them now with even greater interest. I think you're going to do well, as you almost always do every week right here on Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage.
Well, I'll tell you this. We have a great show. We're on show number 90. I think from the day one, Eldo and I have loved doing the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we hardly knew each other. I mean, we talked to each other. Then we started doing the show. I got to be honest with you. I've had a great time every single time I've done the show. We've had nothing but fabulous times. I don't know what we're going to do for our 100th show. I don't know if we're going to maybe just bring the computer to a bar and I'll watch Eldo get drunk while I'm drinking Diet Coke and we'll go yippee and throw some confetti in the air. But that's a hell of a thing to do a podcast and get close to 100 shows. And I've seen Bears Barroom follow at Bears Barroom, follow at VSAO Sports, follow all these great places, follow AM1000. But Bears Barroom, getting near the 10,000 mark. We're climbing every single day. We got like 9,800. It's a beautiful thing. Great shows. You had, two, three shows on last night. You have shows on. We'll have this show podcast after the show. A lot of good stuff going on, Eldo. It's been a good year. How many shows we have total on this station, different shows?
We have, at our peak, we have 12 different shows on the Bears Barroom Radio Network. And tomorrow, we will be live 1 hour after the Bears game ends. Draft Dr. Phil and I will review the Bears game, and maybe Shane Marsall will break away from family obligations and join us too. So
I love Shane. He can go. Tom Dad said it's okay.
Okay.
By the way, a couple of things, Aldo. I got to just say this, and you know, I'll never forget. One day I walked into, I got called into the office, into Ron Gleason's office, and back in the day in 92, 93, 94, you were able to say certain words that you could never say now. We were just talking about injuries, like Akeem Hicks's injury with the elbow or Waddle's injury. Those injuries, today, you're off the field. If you said what I said years ago now, you might be off the field. Although I do see some TV stations that use some swear words sometimes, which is amazing to me, because in radio, they come down hard on you, the FCC. Well, I'll never forget, I walked into, Eldo goes, great, another story. Mike tells such great stories.
I love
anyway,
this.
I walked into Ron Gleason's office after he called me in. He goes, you can't say that word. I go, what word are you talking about? You can't say it. I go, what are you talking about? He's all aggravated. I go, what did I say? You can't say jag off out in the air. I go, but I just did, and nobody dumped it, and I didn't think it was wrong. He goes, well, if you're going to say something like that ever again, you've been warned. Just telling you. I go, okay. So I walk back in, and Jiggs goes, what's going on? And I go, he says I can't say jag off on the air. And Jiggs looked at me like, yeah, that's probably good, you know. Don't say that, you know. And Jiggs was always there to be the voice of reason. So then, about, I don't know, an hour later, I said, I can't say a certain word that I said an hour ago. But I got a new word. And Jiggs goes, what's that? I go, jagbag. Just like that. And he goes, jagbag, yeah. So, the Urban Dictionary finally gave me credit today after, I'm going to say, 22 years, okay? And what happened was Jeff Schwartz, who Eldo knows very well and who's been instrumental and who's doing very well, by the way, Eldo, he wanted me to tell you, he says the fantasy guys won't say anything, but I'm doing a number in fantasy football. I'm doing good.
He is doing really well.
I go. I never hear anything on the show with you and Eldo. I never hear anything like that. And I go, wow. I go, I'll bring it up. So I guess he's doing real well. Very good. I remember Gleason saying fantasy football when we wanted to bring it on my show with the Monsters would never work, and it worked out good. But anyway, Jagbag finally, Schwartz sends me a message saying, you finally got it. I go, what are you talking about? It says here, Jagbag, radio safe substitution for jackass, which was wrong,
right.
But that's okay.
Right.
Joined by radio personality Mike North from Chicago, combines the feel of what I've been called many times, a douchebag, a jerk-off, and a jackass for maximum effect. And then they give you a little example. I can't believe that freaking jagbag in a taxi cut me off. And we used to have jagbag once a week, along with caning, and jagbag became huge. But I want to thank the Urban Dictionary This is really going to piss off all the college people, all the guys with diplomas that do all the writing, your buddy in Detroit that chastised the man. I made up a word. Now what? Now what? I made up a word that's in the dictionary. Now what?
I think maybe you've made up more words that aren't in the dictionary. We're going to have to put our heads together and come up with some other ones, because if I go through my notes for the autobiography that you and I are working on together, you've come up with some colorful language, brother.
Dag was awesome, and I'll never forget. We had T-shirts made up. It just caught fire. Well, you know what? The one I got really a lot of heat for, too, was Steak and BJ Day.
Yes.
Remember that one?
Yes, that's one.
It was March 20th. I'll never forget. Chicks almost choked to death. I'm thinking of I say on the radio, I'm thinking of a new holiday. You know how the women get Valentine's Day? It's really for the women. And Sweetest Day is really for, you know, single couples. He goes, what are you going to, what kind of day you going to come up with? I go, something for the guys. Now, this is on the air. I go, something for the guys. Well, what would that be? I do a pretty good jigs, don't I? But what would that be? I go, Steak and BJ Day. Jigs almost fell out of his chair. We had T-shirts made, and if you look it up now, there's Steak and BJ Days all over the country.
Oh, you got people cracking up with funny laughing emojis in the chat room. People love it, and I love the idea of resurrecting that for T-shirts. That just falls right
away. You know what the T-shirts were?
What was that?
Now you could never do this. It was a woman on one knee with a steak on her head.
Oh my God. No, you're right. We could never get away with that. No.
You know what? It was night. Look, it's when Clinton was president. Anything goes.
That's right.
And you want to know something? Nobody said a word. Nobody. Nobody at the station. Nobody anywhere said a word about it. No media critics. Nobody. And now if you look up March 20th, maybe I'll just yell into the black box, just because you like when I yell into the black box.
Yes, yes.
When is Steak and BJ Day in this country? Wait a minute. Listen to this. I'll never get credit for this, but everybody at the store knows it was me, okay? Steak and BJ Day is a non-official conditional holiday that is celebrated on March 14th, and was established as the male version of Valentine's Day, which is why it's celebrated exactly 1 month after the holiday.
Oh, my goodness. Mike, this has
and
to be...
And that was me, buddy. Nobody in radio. Not Stern. Not Dahl. None of them. Not Mancow. Not Francesa. I was the first guy, and now it's a celebration. But I think it's a little hard to get it on the calendar of the official U.S. holidays.
Well, I have to put it on the 2020 official Bears Barroom calendar, right?
Well, I'm looking down here, and it says steak and listen what it says on Wikipedia. Steak and blowjob day, Wikipedia.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay? I'm just telling you right now, this is what it says. It says cultural analysis. It talks about people that want, you know, that talk about it. It doesn't say who invented it. It doesn't say that at all, because I never get credit for anything. You think they'd give me credit for this? I mean, it's that bad. But it says here, the observance has no official status, being a popular internet meme rather than an actual holiday. But various souvenirs and video clips have been produced about it. It was conceived in 2002 by DJ Tom Birdsey on WFNX Radio. That's so much bullshit.
Yeah.
I was on in the 90s with it. I got the T-shirts and everything. But I don't care. I don't care. I just wanted to let everyone know there is such a day, and I came up with it in the 90s.
Stacy in the chat room says she gives her blessing to a Steak and BJ Day. And
a lot of the girls loved it.
Yes.
And listen to the score. Yeah. They loved it.
That's pretty
good. It was a gimmick. It was a bit. See, you can't do bits anymore.
Right.
People will take it to the 10th degree, and then you're in front of the FCC.
That's right.
The FCC didn't say anything.
Well,
you
probably got away with, you know, the way the FCC worked back then is that somebody would send a letter to the FCC, and then one letter would automatically get people, you know.
Well, that's what happened with the Chinaman thing. Or somebody would write, when I said Chinaman, about that was Feeder. or they critic would write it. But our critics didn't even make bat an eye with the steak and BJ Day.
Mm-hmm.
Not one. Not Gary Deeb. Not Rob Feeder. Not who was there at the time? Jim Kirk, Ted Cox. None of them.
None of them. Hey, Stacy also says that she's got Jim Kay over for dinner, who's a good friend of yours. So that would be Jim Karkasis. You know Jim? You remember Jim?
Jim Karkasis?
Yeah, there you go.
That's my good friend. He's one of my great friends. One of the great guys of all time.
There you go.
I grew up with him. So God bless him, man. The Greek!
The Greek, there you go.
The Greek, I love the Greek.
Well, all right, let's move on. We got to talk about Kelvin Herrera. He is the White Sox pitcher who was at a cockfight and ends up cocking somebody in the face, cold cocking somebody in the face.
Take it easy, will you please?
I haven't said that.
Listen, whenever you get more than, you know what? There's nothing worse than a cockfight. Nothing. I can't stand it. I mean, I watched The Cincinnati Kid, and in that movie with Steve McQueen, he takes Ann Margaret to a cockfight.
Yeah.
And they're kicking the crap out of each other. They got razor blades on. I'm an animal lover. I'm not a big fan of what happened. By the way, I mean, that stadium that they're fighting in looks like somebody's bedroom. It looks like the bowl. Did you see where there's like 30 seats? It looks like the old Bozo, you know, where Bozo was shot. It looks like that cockfight was on Bradley Place at WGN.
And it's
you know, I'm waiting for Bob Trendler and his big time band come out.
And it's got this grand name, the Colegio Galactico de San Francisco de Marcos. And it's probably got 100 seats in it. It's funny.
Did you see it?
Yes, I saw the video.
Like, it looks like they're going to start the arrows for the grand prize game. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then he gives, now, does he slap the pitcher?
No, what do you mean, did he slap the pitcher?
No, did he slap the pitcher? Because I saw the video.
Yeah, well, it, from what I could see, it looks like this person turns to Herrera and says something unpleasant, and Herrera just punches him, and then all of a sudden, you know, the place goes wild. So, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, White Sox right-handed pitcher Kelvin Herrera has reportedly been accused of punching a man several times at a cockfight in the Dominican Republic, and the man, by the last name of Padilla, has filed charges against Herrera. And you know, a lot of times what happens is these guys are goaded into fights because they know they're multimillionaires. And so let me see if I can get a lawsuit against this guy and we could settle this thing with a nice little payoff. Perhaps that's what happened here. I'm not making an excuse for anyone. I'm just wondering, you know, that perhaps, you know, something fishy happened. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe it was an argument. And by the way, they're jealous. There's so much jealousy. Ivan Calderon, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He got murdered. There's kidnappings. Why do these guys go back to these places and go to areas like that? I mean, seriously, I know it's their hometown, but you know what? You're traveling around. You're making, like, I think the guy I read makes, Aldo's going, boy, this guy prepares. The guy makes like $16 million or something.
That's right.
In 2 years from the White Sox or something to that effect. And you know what? He's walking around that area, and they know he's got all that money. You saw what happened to Big Papi? When he got shot in the back, you know what I'm saying? So it's a very dangerous thing. I'm not a big fan of cockfighting. This guy's another bad signing by the White Sox, by the way. Is he not?
Wow.
I mean,
I was going to say, maybe the guy told him, hey, you had a 6.14 ERA last year. Shut up. And that's what got
around. Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you get in with the Roosters and see what happens? And I'd be rooting for the Roosters. But you know what? A guy like that in the White Sox, the organization now, I think the organization's basically going to say, you know, he's in his hometown, it's nothing with us, he works with us, you know, but now's not the time where he's playing, stuff like that. I'm sure he's talked to with whoever's running the team. There's seven people running the team, you know, everybody from Reinsdorf to Kenny Williams to Rick Hahn. You know, they'll give him a call and see what happens, but it will blow over, I think.
Yep, it will blow over, but I don't think this is going to blow over. Your feelings about the White Sox signing catcher Yasmani Grandal. I saw what you said on Twitter. I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Like Jordan Howard again.
Yes.
We got a guy. What are you doing? Wait, we just got rid of, you know what? We don't want to pay a $6 million. We don't want to pay a Gold Glover.
Mm-hmm.
$6 million.
All right.
I talked to my brother in South Carolina. I go, they're going to get rid of Yomer. He goes, Yomer who? Because he's a Cub fan. He goes, Sanchez. He won the Gold Glove. He goes, I saw that. They want to get rid of him. Why? Too much money. How much is it? $6 million. He goes, wait a minute. $6 million for a Gold Glove? A player?
Yeah.
It's worth that alone. I said, well, they say he doesn't hit. Because now, I guess we're not going to play any defense. We're not going to pitch. All the games are going to be 17-16. We got five DHs. Now we pick up. So now we're going to get a second baseman, Nick Madrigal, who everybody's predicting stardom to, but nobody knows. So now they're going to save money there. But then they go and do an odd thing before that. We have a guy that Eldo and I were clearly on the same page about.
Yep.
Saying James McCann is a 272 hitter. They don't. How many White Sox fans walked around saying we need another catcher? Because we have Zach Collins, too, who was picked number one in 2016.
Exactly.
What do? We go out and get one of the worst defensive catchers in baseball, who was actually benched during the playoffs 2 years ago with the Dodgers and hit 135. Now he's a decent hitter, but he's led the league in passed balls three times from 2014 to 2019. Three times. And yet I got to hear Sox fans and people that host radio shows saying they upgraded the position, not defensively. Not defensively. And you want a hitter or do you want a better now they say he frames pitches. To me, that's the 10th best thing. First of all, I saw Ronaldo Lopez last year give up five runs in the first inning, and he threw two over the catcher's head. You got to have pitches that are frameable, number one.
Yep.
Number two, if that's your major thing for getting a catcher to take a 272 hitter, and by the way, McCann had a decent defensive year too. So I think it was a bad pickup, Eldo. And you know what? I'm not picking on the White Sox. I'm just trying to be a White Sox fan that's giving the other side because, you know what, you'll get all the White Sox jersey wears.
Right.
Most of the people that were arguing with me wear White Sox, have White Sox jerseys on their profile, or they say lifelong Sox fan. You're not going to win that argument, but to me, I thought that money should have been sunk. $70 million when you have a catcher already, I thought it should have been sunk in pitching or in other positions.
Mike, when you have an all-star catcher already, that's what I don't get. I don't get it.
Well, because we have an owner who said he wants to finish in second place, and he shows it by getting rid of a Gold Glove second baseman, and he's basically taking the job away from his all-star catcher from last year.
All right. And
I want to tell everybody this. This is no different than the Jordan Howard thing. Chicago teams do this all the time. It's the same thing. We brought in another running back when we had one. We brought in another catcher when we had one.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't happen just with the Bears or the Bulls. This has happened, or the Sox. This has happened forever with all the teams.
Yeah.
Period.
And I'm going to go back to my theory. I think that a lot of what happens with a lot of professional sports teams, and especially the White Sox, is they make a signing right around the time that they're making a big push to renew season tickets, to get new season tickets. I asked Joey Mandel here at Bears Barroom, have you gotten a call from anybody in the White Sox lately? And he goes, yeah, as a matter of fact, somebody's been calling me and leaving messages. Yeah, you know why? Because they're hoping that everybody's giddy now that they made these two big free agent signings, because Jose Abreu was signed to a 3-year, $50 million contract. And then the Yasmani signing, which, again, I don't get, just like you, Mike, to 4 years, $73
million. Wow. Do you believe
that? It's crazy.
Johnny Bench is at home rubbing blue emu on his face. Are you kidding me? $70 million? Johnny Bench is like going, and Carl, can you imagine what these guys are thinking? $70 million for this guy? And I kept hearing, he sounded like he was Johnny Bench the way White Sox fans were talking. You know what? Sox, now I'm hearing we're going after Zach Wheeler. All middle-of-the-road guys, Aldo, that aren't going to get you nowhere, but where the chairman wants to eventually end up in second place. Zach Wheeler's 11-8 with a 4 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
You know who he is? He's the white Jose Quintana. That's all he is. And by the way, you know how the Cubs won it all? When they got free agent pitchers, you know where they got them from? The American League. Arrieta, Hendricks, Lester. Those are all American League pitchers. Where do the Sox go? They want to go after a guy from the Mets who the Mets are going to let walk, and they got a good team maybe, who was a 4 ERA in the National League with no DH? Good luck, folks.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the final topic.
And don't forget, we got our Thanksgiving Day tips I got to give out at the end of the show.
Oh, okay. So let's do this first, and then we'll do the tips.
Right.
I asked people on Twitter, and anyone can jump in here in the chat room too. I asked for this Bears-Detroit Lions game. Give me a bold prediction. Tell me something that is going to be bold. And so we got a couple of cool responses. Todd Hunter, 57, says that the game is not going to be so bold itself. It's going to be a turkey game. And there's no reason to argue. There's not a good reason to argue against that, given the record of the two teams and the way they right. performed. And then at Willie K-Mac said, Nagy will come clean in the post-game press conference and admit that he is, in fact, a used car salesman and has a 2010 Lincoln for sale with low mileage.
No. Listen. It's Thanksgiving. I pray the Bears win. I want them to win. I'm not going to give a pick because it's a service play. I want them to win. But look at everything carefully, folks. Maybe take a look at the over. I'd like to give a score. I'm not going to give out who's going to win, but I'll give out a score right now. I'm going to go 24-21. That's the score I'm going to give out.
Oh.
That's it.
So that
would, for me, go over the total, but I didn't give that pick out to anybody. But I'd probably lay off. There's a lot of good games tomorrow. I think the Buffalo-Dallas game is huge.
Yes.
You know, that's going to be a great game. You got Mississippi State. You got mm-hmm. So there's a lot of games this weekend. You know what happens usually? I remember when I was the dumbest gambler on the planet. I mean, it's no fun to wake up on Friday morning after Thanksgiving.
That's right.
When you're down like 350, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you want to be careful on Thanksgiving. Emotions run high. You're bored. You're sitting around waiting to eat. You're waiting for people to come around. Most people, and the Bear game is the game that people will bet early. A lot of Bear fans will bet on the Bears, not only because they are Bear fans, but because they think the Bears can win. So I get that. So I'm hoping they win so everybody could have a positive day.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And Mike, you brought up the Buffalo-Dallas game, which is going to be a fascinating game to watch, I think. Dallas is giving 6.5 points against a Buffalo team that has really been playing well. Are you surprised that the Cowboys are giving away that many points?
Yes.
Yeah.
It scares me a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to take Dallas, it would scare you to give that many points away. But if you're taking Buffalo, you're going, why are they getting that many points? I mean, they just won a big game last week. People are talking about Buffalo maybe down the line being the heir apparent. By the way, the AFC East with New England, Buffalo, and the Jets will be strong in a couple of years, if not next year. It's getting stronger. It's been a doormat team or division for a long, long time.
Yeah. All right, we got a couple of predictions in here. Cliff Wilson says that David Montgomery will get 145 yards rushing. I love the prediction. We'll see.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say our guy Robinson is going to have 6 catches for 103 yards. I had Montgomery with 70 yards on the game.
Excellent.
Before that guy brought up, so I'm hoping he has a big day. Now, I think that's what the Bears want to do. Aldo and I have talked about Detroit. They're putrid on defense.
Yes.
So, I mean, here's another thing I want. And we haven't talked about this. What did we say would be the Bears' downfall if it didn't, this year, if something didn't happen? Turnovers,
yep.
Haven't had any.
You said it, yep.
We have not had any turnovers this year. Last year, we used to get turnovers a quarter, it seemed like, and every game.
Eddie Jackson.
We have not had that, so I want to see 2 turnovers. I want to see Robinson with 100 yards receiving, and I want to see Montgomery. Look, if the kid gets 65, 70 yards, he'd feel good about himself. I think that's the guy we got to get right. I think he's lost his confidence a little bit. He ran under different circumstances in the Big 12. They don't play any defense there, so you know what? But he's got all the tools. Open up a couple holes. And try to be consistent tomorrow, and that's what I'm hoping for. We're going to all be watching, regardless of the record, because the Bears are still in it, whether people like it or not. And that's what Akeem Hicks was talking about. Don't give up on us. But you know what? It was the expectations.
Yeah.
You're going to see My Fair Lady, you think, and then you end up seeing Stripes with Bill Murray. You know what I mean?
Or the other way around.
Or the other way. Oh, man, I'd love to see Stripes. I mean, I could watch any. I watch My Fair. Listen, there's certain movies I can't watch. I'm not a Rex Harrison guy.
Yeah, me neither. Okay? Me neither.
You know, he was supposed to be a mean bastard that was a bully. And your typical 1930s, 40s, 50s movie star, you know, womanizer, not one of my favorite guys. And you know what? My Fair Lady, I can't sit through the first 10 minutes of it. I got to shut it off. Have you ever watched the whole thing?
Never. Never and never will. I'm staying away.
I got to be honest with you. I'm starting to get into musicals. I'm worried about myself.
Oh, no. Not you, Mike North. Please, tell me no.
I'm telling you. I saw one with Sinatra and Gene Kelly the other night. I sort of liked it. Out on the Town. I love that. I watch it every time it's on. Just the first 7 minutes, because that was the only 7 minutes that was shot on location in New York.
That's right.
And they sing New York, New York.
Right.
That's a great song, and there's great choreography. Yeah. And now I'm going to go fix my flowers.
Well, anything with Sinatra in it, you can't go wrong.
Oh, you can't go, especially when he was that age, for God's sake.
Yep. Hey, a couple of quick predictions here in the chat room that I want to share with you. Harp 4803 says the Bears defense gets a defensive score, Trubisky 2 touchdowns, and Montgomery also scores. So that's his bold prediction. Brummy Bear says that if the third string quarterback for the Lions doesn't start, then it's time to turn off the lights on the Bears. But he's predicting 21-10 Bears. And then we've got Omar Berrios. He says a breakout game for Cordero Patterson. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's got a feeling that he's going to have a huge impact on the game.
Why did he suggest that he plays tight end, right?
Yeah, well, I've been hearing a lot of that. I mean, he's definitely got the size, and the Bears don't have any good tight ends.
But why does he have to suggest it? I mean, maybe they figured he's a running back in special teams, but I want to see him play there. He says he's about 6'2", about 240 pounds.
Yes, he's a huge
man. So let him
man.
Play there, yep. Because they don't have any tight ends right now. Here's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I found all the predictions interesting, Aldo, if you look down at the chat board for the Bears tomorrow. And this is a great thing to talk about. How many brought up anything about Trubisky? None.
None? Yeah.
But if he has a bad game, he'll be barbecued, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Here's what I'm thinking. Let's build off last week's game. I want to see him. The one thing he hasn't done this year is turn over the football a whole lot. We want to keep him healthy. He wants to use his legs, but I want to see him continue to do what he did last week, put up a couple touchdown passes.
Right, right. Now, I saw 2 years ago, I went to the Bears game in Detroit and saw Mitch Trubisky play under that tough crowd there.
Right.
It's a dome. It's very loud and so forth. He had an awful game. He threw 3 interceptions and so forth. But the 2 home games against the Lions, he's played well. And so there's a very good chance that he could, you know, have himself a good game. I'm hoping that he does. If he doesn't, oh boy, well, you know, we're going to be talking about it on Monday.
Well, if he doesn't, that's amazing, though. We're giving predictions for all the other players.
Yeah.
And the most important player is Trubisky. If he plays a good game, Robinson will catch those balls. I guess we're saying, you know, some people are saying Cordell Patterson. Some people are saying, you know, like me, Robinson. Some people are saying Montgomery. Well, you know what? That's all based on Mitch.
Right.
It's all going to be based on Mitch tomorrow. And, by the way, the play calling. I think the one thing is Bear fans, we got to watch them out. How does he call the game? Because right now he still gets a D from me. Does he get a really good grade from you? I give him a D+ for game calling. He came from enough. He's starting to have the arrow pointed up, but he was in some sort of play calling slump, and he still doesn't run the ball a lot. And you know what? I'd like to see him stick to the run tomorrow. Maybe we'll see that.
I would love to see more I formation stuff, and let's. I would love to see David Montgomery run for those 145 yards as predicted in the chat room. We will see, and I want to tell people this, that if they want more information for their gambling needs, please go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com or call 1-866-504-2201. Did I leave anything out, Mike?
No, you got it all, baby. You got it all. It's a great show. We appreciate VegasScoresAndOdds.com. You see it on my Twitter feed. Follow at VSAO Sports. These guys are great guys. I have a ton of games up. I have an NBA game up tonight. I have a total game up in the Toronto game. Check that out. Only 1 game tonight. I got 4 games, football games up tomorrow. I got the games I gave out with Eldo for Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before we say goodbye, unless Aldo decides there's some other business we have to do after this.
Nope.
I'd like to do something that I've done. Yes, my... It's been a big day for me. First of all, we've talked about Steak and BJ Day. We've talked about all the things that I came up with, like Jag Bag, Steak and BJ Day, caning, all this good stuff. But I also, you know, I'm watching radio today. And when I watch it, I watch Golic and Winkle. Name us your five best Thanksgiving things. Everybody had Thanksgiving themes today. It's called In the Business for the most part. Let's just mail it in. Let's get through this show so we can take tomorrow off.
Yeah.
And I came up in 1992 with my top 10 Thanksgiving Day picks. Now, I'm not saying nobody did it before me, but it became a staple on the score. People looked into loved it. So I'm going to give them out now on the Bears Barroom.
Awesome,
okay.
awesome, yes.
All right, number 10. Only on the Bears Barroom you get this. You don't get this on AM 1000. You don't get this on the score anymore, that's for sure. You don't get it on VSAO. Number 10, if you don't eat turkey and you're coming to my house, I don't want to hear about it. Okay?
I love it.
If you're a vegan, that's your problem. But let me tell you this. There's no reason to walk around like a fool going, I eat macaroni and cheese on Thanksgiving as a side, and I eat dressing, but I don't eat no turkey. You're an idiot. It's a Thanksgiving tradition like no other. You know what?
Yes.
Period. A vegan, really, on Thanksgiving, I think there's cheat days. I think you go back to the turkey. And by the way, there's an argument to be made that some people who are vegetarians do eat poultry. They just won't eat the red meat. So to those people, try to do it, but please, I don't want to hear about, I'm a vegan, Mike, but thanks for inviting me. Don't say it to me, because I may disinvite you next year, all right?
I love it.
Number 9, 5 items only. When we were kids, we put the 12 things on the plate. You'd eat 2-3 plates, you'd be full, you couldn't breathe, and you laid on your side on the couch. Now, you have turkey, I'll have 2 dressings tomorrow, I may have some Brussels sprouts, I'm going to have some mashed potatoes with gravy.
Nice.
And that's about it.
Nice.
Don't put, you know, things that you don't want to eat on your plate. You know, that you don't have to grab everything. Then you get more of the 5 things that you love the most. Now, number 8. A mistake everybody makes. I'm sure Aldo's made it. I'm sure all of us have made it. That's why you learn. Keep the thermostat at 66. Okay?
Excellent.
Because I know this. Aldo and I will at least, I know this because I know us, consume 3 plates at least. And when you consume hot food and you get bloated, what happens? You get hot.
You get really hot. Yes.
You get really hot.
You start to sweat.
Which leads in to the same thing. But I'm going to tell you right now, in a few, I'm at 7 right now. Once again, turkey, no vegans. 9. 5 items only. 8. Temperature, 66 in the house. Number 7, going along with the temperature, no heavy clothing. If you got it at 66, but you got a Ditka sweater on, what good did you do yourself?
There you go.
You know,
uh-huh.
If you got a Bear sweater on, if you got your Bear jersey on, you're going to sweat.
Yep.
Because you're eating hot, big, carbonated, whatever it is, carbohydrates, whatever the hell it is,
yeah.
Food.
Short sleeve t-shirt is the way to go.
Short sleeve t-shirt, something with bears on it.
There you go.
Maybe, you know, a pair of Zubas. Keep them loose. Anybody that comes to your house on Thanksgiving with a belt might have to seek emergency treatment, okay? Try not to wear regular pants, all right?
Sounds about.
Number 6. This is new. Now, I remember breaking new ground by saying no cell phones back in the day and make sure they're shut off. Here's what I'm going to tell everybody. No phones at the table.
Oh, nice.
No phones.
Nice.
Keep the phones there.
Thank you.
Nobody wants to hear the phone ring. Mm. Nobody wants to hear the message, it's time to feed the dog. Keep the phones off while you're eating Thanksgiving dinner. It's a family, beautiful thing, okay?
Yes.
And keep all social media off. Nobody wants to hear bears suck while you're going past the mashed potatoes, okay? Number 5, desserts are a waste of time. All they do is add on to the fullness. You could put another plate of food away if you don't eat, you know, pumpkin pie. And by the way, my wife says she loves pumpkin pie. I go on, open up a pumpkin pie store and starve to death because people only eat it twice a year. I go, we've had pumpkin pie twice a year, but I still love it, she says. You know what? People used to love having sex without a condom. You don't do it anymore, okay? Desserts are no good for Thanksgiving. All they do is just make you regret yourself the next day when you look at a side view of yourself in the mirror, okay? You look like E.T. in the swamp. Okay, number four. No politics.
No politics. Excellent.
You can't go there. And you know what? I would like to, but I don't need my family turning on me. You know what I mean? Even in my own house. The next thing you know, you got the knife in your hand and they're throwing the turkey at you. Forget about it. You know? Let's see. Number... You like them so far?
I love these. Are you kidding me?
Okay. Number three. And this was important. If you have a pet and you feed my dog and you're at my house and I tell you not to feed the dog, you'll be ejected.
Nice.
Because a lot of people that invite people over, what happens is people will see the dog, he'll hang around, he'll be begging, and all you do as a dog owner, like you have with Doodles and I have with Lucky, I never feed my dog off the table. So if I see my Uncle Leo doing it, that's a problem. So you tell them ahead of time, and if they don't listen and you see it, that's hurting a family member. You are, according to me, able to eject a family member or friend from your home. Okay? Number two. Aldo's going, geez, I better not go over to Mike's house. I'd love to feed Lucky.
I know, I was thinking the same thing.
Leftovers are for you. Your wife made the turkey. I helped. We made it all. You're inviting people over. But what you do is make enough so you can give some people a plate. But don't cut yourself short. You give everybody else leftovers, and then Friday you're looking, going, and you're eating ham. Forget about it. That's another thing. No ham at Thanksgiving for me. It's turkey.
Oh,
last
my gosh.
But not least,
wait a minute, Mike. I got to interrupt you because my sister-in-law doesn't do turkey. She does ham, and it drives me nuts.
You know why she does? Because it's Italian.
That's right. You're right.
Because my buddy Jim DiGiulio, God bless him. I love him. He's one of my best friends, just like Jimmy Kay is. Jimmy DiGiulio, boy, Thanksgiving's coming up. Can't wait to have the turkey. We're having lasagna. We're having, they used to call it octopus back then, you know. We're having some other stuff. We're going to have some ham, no turkey at all. None. I go, that's impossible. But a lot of people do it. A lot of people do it. So, you know what? That will never happen with me. I'm a proud member of 67 years of turkey from the time I was one to the time now. And I remember when turkey, we wouldn't eat it but twice a year. Now you can have turkey once, not to cook turkey, but you can buy turkey at the deli. We never used to do that. The only time you would eat turkey in the 60s, 70s, or early 80s was on Thanksgiving or Christmas. And number one,
wait a minute, I got the drum roll for you. Here it comes, number one.
I hear it. Number one. I want to wish all the people in the Bears barroom, from Shane to Lil Nicky to Eldo to Tooch, to everybody, to Buffon, to Mandel, to all these guys, to Glenn Braggs, you know, all the guys that work so hard on the 12 shows that we have on the network. I want to wish them, number one, I want to wish Eldo and his family a happy Thanksgiving. I want to wish my wife, who's listened, never missed a show I've done, ever. In 27 years, she's listening live now.
Wow.
She's never missed one show I've done, from the Score to Fox Sports Radio to the Bears Barroom to AM 1000, not one show. And I appreciate that very much. And I want to wish all the Bears, including Akeem Hicks, and I want to wish Tommy Waddle, and I want to wish all the Cubs and the Sox, even Jerry Reinsdorf, a happy Thanksgiving. All the sports teams that give us such great joy and have given me a living.
That is unbelievable, Mike. I love the class that you always show on every show. You are one of the most opinionated talk show hosts in the world. That's why they call you the Raging Mouth. It's going to be the title of
Raging
your
Mouth coming out soon.
That's right.
Autobiography coming out soon.
That's
late
right.
2020, which I'm going to sit down. We're starting Act 3 it's December 1st. So we're looking forward to that. The autobiography after football season. The regular season, we commence in January. So looking forward to that. And all the people out there, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Mike. Take care. I love you.
All right, guys. Take care. Hit that music, baby.